Hello, this is David Sick coming to you from the Invisible Palace of Greek and Roman Studies here at Rhodes College in Memphis, Tennessee. The play you have just heard is based on an episode from the Roman novel The Golden Ass by Apuleius. That's ass as in donkey. In this novel, Apuleius, a second century author from North Africa, recounts the tale of Lucius, a man turned into a donkey by a magical mishap, hence the name The Golden Ass. In fact, the novel is more formally referred to as the Metamorphoses because of the transformation. At the end of the story, Lucius is returned to his original human form by the Egyptian goddess Isis. Religious faith is a major theme in the work. As you heard, Psyche's faith in the god Cupid is tested in their relationship, for example. The novel, as a genre, was relatively late to develop in antiquity. If you call to mind some of the most well-known tales of the Greeks and Romans, you will quickly notice that they are in poetic form. Epics such as the Iliad or the Aeneid, tragedies such as Sophocles' Oedipus or Euripides' Medea, these are written in meter and thus poetic. The oldest extant Latin prose fiction dates to the 1st century of the Common Era, whereas we date the Iliad to the 8th century BCE and classical tragedy to the 5th century BCE. So our author, Apuleius, was a bit of a literary revolutionary, and the novel, as a recent invention in his era, had not developed all the conventions of plot and character we know today. I provide this background to try to answer a question y'all out there in the magical land of the internet may be asking. What does the story of Cupid and Psyche have to do with a magical donkey? Well, the episodes in Apuleius' work are at times only loosely related to the primary plot. The story of Cupid and Psyche is a tale told by one character in the novel to another, and Lucius, the protagonist, with his newly elongated ears, happens to overhear it. An old slave woman tells it to a young woman kidnapped by a gang of thugs. The narrator calls it an annilis fabula, or old wives' tale. A possible source for that English expression, in fact. The old woman recounts the story to try to cheer the captive maiden. "Don't worry, miss. Someday your prince will come and save you, just like Cupid did Psyche, when she was lost and struggling through her Herculean labors." Although Apuleius' novel is our oldest source for the tale of Cupid and Psyche, we do not believe the author created it entirely himself. There are many elements of the narrative that would seem to come from the tradition of folktale. Most of us can probably think of a fairy tale or narrative in which the heroine or hero is forbidden to look at something or someone. Orpheus was not permitted to look upon Eurydice, and Lot's wife was enjoined not to look upon the destruction of Sodom, to give two examples. We also encounter evil sisters and talking animals in the story, both elements of folktale. And so it should come as no surprise that the story of Cupid and Psyche has remained popular since it started in a popular context. In that vein, here's your bonus question for today's lecture. Which Disney film tells a story almost certainly derived from the tale of Cupid and Psyche? Got it? Here's your hint. Da, 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 da. Got it now? That's right. Beauty and the Beast. Note that Belle or Beauty is not to look at the Beast at night. In place of Psyche's invisible servants, Disney has given us living teapots, cups, and saucers. The whole servitude thing, even when invisible, is kind of a downer. Even though the story had a popular origin, Apuleius used it toward esoteric goals. He himself was well-trained as a philosopher, and some of his other surviving works are in that field. He wrote a short treatise that identifies the small, monitory voice that Socrates claimed to hear, as well as several commentaries on Plato's dialogues. We can read the story of Cupid and Psyche as a philosophic metaphor. Psyche in Greek means soul or mind, as we see in the term psychology today. And Cupid, of course, personifies or deifies love. So the story of Cupid and Psyche is first a quest of love for the soul, and then inversely of the soul for love. And in the end, when the two are united, the divinity of the soul is achieved. Plato investigated the relationship between love and the soul in dialogues such as the Symposium, the Phaedrus, and the Phaedo. The theologian C.S. Lewis also used the tale of Cupid and Psyche to convey a philosophic message to a wide audience. In his novel, Till We Have Faces, Lewis implied a salvific message from the Christian tradition. Perhaps Apuleius and Lewis both knew that to reach a wide audience, abstractions are not sufficient. We need a spoonful of honey to make the philosophy go down. As Apuleius says at the beginning of his masterpiece, Lector intende, litaboris. Pay attention, reader, and you will be delighted. So let's go listen again and be delighted. Philosophy and folktale in one bite.